Today, we'll talk about 5 things I don't like at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 16 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. This is the podcast where we talk about planning and strategy for people that are going to Disney World. And I am happy to have you here today. You can find me on the website, WDWPrepSchool.com, a couple of times a week where I have new posts in addition to this podcast, which comes out once a week. So thank you for being here. And I am a little leery about today's topic because every time I dare to say my favorite anything or my least favorite anything, people invariably want to lash out and tell me I'm wrong. But here's the thing about opinions. They are not wrong. These are, in fact, my least favorite things about or at Disney World. It's just that you can disagree with me. So, for instance, I am a person who gets cold very easily, and I'll always have goosebumps. If it gets under 80 degrees, I'm shivering and I'm cold. But people will always try to tell me it's not cold. And I think, well, what are my goosebumps? Are they lying to me? What, you know, the fact is that you may not be cold, but I am. We are experiencing the same thing in different ways. And the same is true for things at Disney World. So today I'm just simply sharing my opinions with you about some things I don't like at Disney World. And, you know, in fact, I do like almost everything at Disney World. So this is sort of the exception to the rule. But your interpretation may be different, and you certainly have the right to that opinion. And of course, I would love to hear your thoughts. And at the end of every episode, I give the link to the post on the website that has the information about this podcast. And I'd love to hear you chime in with your own list of things that you do or don't like at Disney World. Before we dive into that, I would like to remind you that if you are an iTunes user, I would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review because it helps the podcast to show up in the search results and gets more listeners coming in to get the information. And there's a lot of Disney World podcasts, so anything that can be done to help it sort of stand out from the crowd is always appreciated. And the easiest way to do that is to go to www.prepschool.com/iTunes, and it takes you right there. Or you can go through the app if you would like. So today's rating review of the day is titled, I Love All Things WDW Prep School. And it was left by a user called KW883874. And it says, I first discovered you on Pinterest and have loved you ever since. You do such a great job breaking down any and all WDW info. I was so excited when you added the podcast to your brand. They are short, sweet, and informative. You say you specialize in first-timers, but I'm a veteran and find your podcast and website very informative. Thanks for being awesome and spreading the Disney magic. So thank you for that review. I appreciate it very much. And she does mention Pinterest, which is one place that many people do find the website because there's a lot of content there that has been pinned from the website. I usually design graphics for each post that are very pinnable. And so it makes the content show up to a lot of people, and then they end up on the website and I guess eventually sometimes on the podcast. So you can go to the Pinterest account if you are on Pinterest. It's pinterest.com/WDWPrepSchool. And you'll find lots of content there about Disney World. And not only pins to my site, but pins to lots of other things because I believe in pinning helpful information, whether or not that comes from me or somebody else. Doesn't matter to me. I just want to be helpful and help you to plan a fun trip. So please join us on Pinterest. And thank you for that review. So let's dive in to today's topic about 5 things that I don't like at Disney World. And they're not in any particular order. It's just that these are 5 things that I jotted down as I was thinking about this topic. So the first one is the all-star resorts. Now, on site at Disney World, there are value resorts, moderate resorts, deluxe resorts. And the value resorts, there are 3 all-star resorts in the value resort category. And they are all-star music, all-star sports, all-star movies. And the reason I don't like them is that they are usually the least expensive option on site, but there is another option that is also usually the same price but has better perks. And namely, that is Pop Century Resort, which has its own buses. And that's a huge, huge perk. So what happens with the All-Star resorts, and it kind of depends on when you go and how the transportation is set up at that time, but usually they will share buses. And that can be really, really difficult when you have to go from resort to resort and wait for people to get on and off. And it can just take a long time to get to where you're going or getting back to your resort at the end of the day. But if you go to Pop Century, they have their own buses. So when you get on the bus there, it is going straight to the park. And if you get on at the park, it's going straight to your resort. So it's a quicker path. And I just think if your goal in staying at an all-star resort is that they're affordable, Pop Century is a better option. Now, I can certainly understand if people really like the theming of the All-Stars better, you know, if they have a particular interest in music, sports, or movies. And, you know, there are a lot of conventions that come in town, like cheerleading conventions, and everybody stays at the All-Star sports in those cases. You know, if you have to stay there, fine. It's not going to be horrible. But I just think for people that are aiming for a least expensive option, that Pop Century is just a better choice if you can do it. So that's one of the things I don't like. Number two, another thing I don't like is the Primeval Whirl ride at Animal Kingdom. Now, I was really excited to ride Primeval Whirl because it looks a lot like a ride at our local Six Flags, which we love. And we would often go and line up for this particular ride at Six Flags first because it's so much fun and we would do it over and over again and it's very similar. Primeval Whirl is a ride I didn't get to ride for a long time for various reasons. There was a cast member that unfortunately died in the process of working on the ride, and so they shut it down for a while to investigate that. Just for different reasons, I didn't get to ride it. So finally, when I got to ride it, I was excited, and my son and I both thought, really? That's it? It just, there's nothing to it. It just jerks you around, and you kind of go back and forth on these loops, and it's just not that fun. Like, the thrill of the ride that we got at the local Six Flags was completely missing from Primeval Whirl, and it just didn't seem worth it. In addition, the height requirement is 48 inches, which is pretty high, and so a lot of kids can't ride it, and the lines can be pretty long. You know, they do have a fast pass option, but, you know, if you're limited to a few fast passes a day, sometimes that's not the one you're going to choose. So it can just mean a long line. Little kids can't ride it. And to us, completely not worth it. I just don't like it. So, you know, if you want to go on it and try it out, I'd love to hear what you think. That was just our experience. And probably a lot of that was just sort of a disappointment because we had this idea of what it probably was going to be like. And then it was nothing like that at all. So that's a ride I just don't like. So that is a second thing on my list of five. Another thing is also at Animal Kingdom, and it is the Animal Kingdom Afternoon Parade, and it's called Mickey's Jammin' Jungle Parade. And I've mentioned this to a few people, and you know, some people do disagree, but I just don't like it. And now, in general, I'm not a huge parade person, but I always think Disney does them so well that I like them when I'm there. But this one is just kind of a letdown. If you've ever seen one of the Magic Kingdom parades, this one's just going to be completely disappointing by comparison. And I think there are a few reasons for it. One is that it's repetitive. So there are these sort of puppet looking animals that are controlled by cast members, and it's just repetitive. It's like the same thing over and over again. And so it feels like, oh, once you've seen, you know, the first one is kind of interesting, but once you've seen it, you know, 10 times, it just feels like you're seeing the same thing over and over again. And it feels like it goes on forever and ever. And Animal Kingdom in general is just a hot park. And so when you're hanging out in the sun, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or I think that's the time it is, it's around there, watching this parade, it just feels like such a letdown. Like, this was just not worth it. And I just don't like it. And, you know, there are some people maybe who are more parade lovers in general who would appreciate it, because I suppose any parade at Disney World is going to be better than most parades anywhere else. But compared to Magic Kingdom, it is just such a letdown. And I just don't generally recommend it on the list. And while the parade's going on, the rides and everything have a lot shorter lines. So if you want to skip the parade, you can definitely take advantage of shorter lines on other attractions. And after the parade, the park is often less busy because people will wait for the parade and then head out. So the parade can be used in other ways, I think, that are more beneficial than the actual parade. So that's the third thing on my list of things that I'm not super fond of. Now, the fourth thing on my list is probably on almost everybody's list. So I'm not going out on too big of a limb with this one, but it is the Stitch attraction at Magic Kingdom. I had two Animal Kingdom things in a row, and I was sort of stuck on that, I think. But no, Stitch is at Magic Kingdom. And so it is such a waste of space that I don't even know why they leave it in there. But if you want to be amused, you can read the Yelp reviews, which I love. It's a 1-star rated attraction on Yelp. And every single review pretty much will warn you about being strapped down and burped on this attraction. And they're just super funny to read because people read the reviews and they go on it and they come back and go, well, you were right. So for instance, here's just a sampling of some reviews on Yelp. One says, "This is the worst piece of poop attraction I've ever seen. Listen to your fellow Yelpers and skip this. I decided to check it out after reading these reviews. I thought it would be fun to see how awful this thing was. I was wrong. It was horrible. Just terrible." Or another one is, "Probably the worst ride at any Disney park. I actually read the bad reviews before I went to Disney World, but was still intrigued. I like the character so much, I thought to myself, how bad can it be? Boy, was it bad." So absolutely, absolutely true. And it's funny because this attraction had a fast pass machine for a while, and then it was taken out. I think they figured out that it was really not needed. If you're really a fan of Stitch, there are better ways to interact with Stitch. You could go to Ohana and have the character meal there and interact with Stitch. And that's a much more popular way to see Stitch than the ride itself. So that is my fourth thing. Now, my last thing is something that might be super controversial, but I'm going to explain. So my last thing is dinner at Be Our Guest. And I should say that Be Our Guest for lunch is probably my favorite quick service in all of Disney World. So I'm not a hater of Be Our Guest in general, but I don't like the dinner. And here's why. First of all, it is the most difficult reservation to get in all of Disney World, I'm pretty sure. People that log on or call 6 months in advance are often irritated that everything has been taken that far in advance. And if it's going to be that difficult, it should have a payoff. So, you know, if you're going to go to Cinderella's Royal Table and have a hard time getting that reservation, at least you'll have the payoff of, you know, being in the castle and being with princesses and all that kind of stuff. Be Our Guest just doesn't have that payoff for me. And that there are a few reasons for that. One is the service is inconsistent. Now, my personal experiences there have had bad service. Now, of course, there are lots of servers there, so some are going to be good. Mine were just not good. And it's just been super irritating, like, you know, bad attitude, not checking on it. It's just something we've never experienced at Disney World except for here. And the fact that it's so difficult to get in made it even more frustrating that it didn't live up to the effort it took to be able to eat there. So service is inconsistent. Number two is that the food is also inconsistent. And I know, for instance, my daughter is a vegetarian, and there's only one vegetarian option that she could have there, and it was terrible. She is a picky eater, so when she said it was terrible, I didn't know for sure if, you know, her review was valid. And so I said, well, I want to taste your food, and I did, and it was truly terrible. And I'm not a picky person. I like just about everything. And so that's frustrating. And then the third thing is that it is not a character dining location so much. And most of the difficult reservations are character dining locations or super high-end places, fancy kind of restaurants. But this particular one has the Beast in his own room. and you can go and meet with them there. But it's another step. I mean, one of the perks of having a character meal is that they come to the table. So you're sort of killing two birds with one stone, being able to eat and interact with the characters and not have to wait in line. But at this location, you actually have to go to the Beast in the other room and you have to meet him there. So, you know, between the inconsistent service, the food, and the difficulty getting the reservation, and the fact that the character is in a different room and it requires a different line that you have to get in, I just don't think it is worth it. And I think if people are going to get online 180 days in advance, that there are better things to prioritize than the Be Our Guest dinner. So to quickly recap, my five things are the All-Star Resorts, Primeval World, the Animal Kingdom Jam and Jungle Parade, which is in the afternoon, Stitch's Great Escape at Magic Kingdom, and Be Our Guest at dinner. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. And when I share the link at the end of the episode, you can go there and chime in. Before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to share my quick tip of the day. And this quick tip is that at Hollywood Studios, there is an umbrella attached to a light pole, and it is the Singing in the Rain umbrella. And if you go underneath this umbrella and stand on the pad that's underneath it, it will usually activate some water to fall. And it is located near the Lights Motors Action Show at Hollywood Studios. And usually this will work. Occasionally, if you stand on the pad, it won't do anything. But if it's a little secret that not a lot of people know, a lot of people just walk right by it without realizing what it is. So it makes for a really fun photo op to have somebody holding onto the handle, standing on the pad with the water falling down. So look for the Singing in the Rain umbrella at Hollywood Studios. I think that wraps up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information and to chime in with your thoughts, please visit wdwprepschool.com/episode16. And that is the number 16, not spelled out 16. Until next time, I will see you on the site.